Psalms chapter number 106, and we will begin reading at verse number 4. He said, "Remember me, O Lord, when the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. And so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the land of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his word, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert." Verse number 47. He said, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thine holy name, and to triumph in thy praise." Save us, O Lord our God. I'm going to take my text and my thought from the first verse, verse number 4, and where he said, "O visit me with thy salvation." Amen. Visit me with thy salvation. Can we ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you and adore you today, God. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah, Savior. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is none that is like you, God. You are so good to us. You're so faithful to us. Lord Jesus, we're asking you to help us here tonight, to visit with us, to speak to us, minister to us, O Lord Jesus, through your word. Prepare our hearts, O God, for this today. We'll be quick to give you glory, honor, and praise in the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Savior. In the name of Jesus. So let's just love him today. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, Savior, Savior, Savior. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here this morning. Praise God. We do not know who wrote this Psalms. I know that some people feel like David wrote all of the book of Psalms, but that's not the truth. We know that Hezekiah wrote
for the Lord.
We'll get it fixed. Amen. Psalms 46, 47, 48. We do know that Hezekiah wrote those, and there are others that are attributed to other writers. And but we do not really know who wrote this psalm. It is not noted to be a psalm of Asaph, and it's not noted to be a psalm of David, and it's also not noted to be a psalm of the chief musician. And it is supposed to be a prayer of the captives that are in Babylon, who acknowledge the mercies of God. They confess their sins and those of their forefathers, and implore the Lord to save them. And now, obviously, this is back when the children of Israel were in bondage in Babylon. And so, being in bondage in Babylon, they did begin to cry out for the Lord. And so, with that said, there are some theologians that even speculate that maybe Daniel may have written this psalm. And but though that we do not know who wrote it, it is clearly a companion of the previous psalm, Psalms chapter number 105. And we see that they stand shoulder to shoulder in their word. Psalms 105 tells us of how that God treated Israel, while Psalms 106 tells us how that Israel treated God. The first Psalms 105 deals with the faithfulness of God, and the other deals with the faithlessness of Israel. Amen. And we're going to get into that here today. But the thing that I want to point out to you is that there was a call for deliverance. They desired to be delivered from their captives, from those that held them in such bondage. Bondage was a type of thing, was something that was familiar to the children of Israel. They oftentimes found themselves in bondage through different captors. They were in bondage to the Egyptians, of course, for some 400 years. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. They were in bondage to many other people or tribes and nations at different times. And they always fell into bondage when they strayed away from the commandments of God and from the workings of God, from the way that God would lead them and direct them. And when they began to decide that they would do things on their own and do things their own way, then God, being the gentleman that he was, he would withhold himself and back up, and he would allow them to do exactly what they felt like doing. But as we see throughout biblical history, we know that in time that the children of Israel would begin to cry out for a deliverer. When it concerned those that was in Egypt, they did not necessarily know who the deliverer was, but nevertheless they cried out that God would send a deliverer unto them, and God did. And it wasn't necessarily Moses, for Moses came and he said that the I Am had sent him, and that's how they knew that it was of God. But in the Babylonian days, they knew who God was. They knew the faithfulness of God. They knew the ways of God. And even in the book of Psalms, the writer says that we hanged our harps upon the willows when we remembered the songs of Zion, when we remembered the ways that was in Zion, in Jerusalem. When we looked over the river there and we saw those things, we hanged our harps. And he said, and we wept, for our captors required of us a song, amen, to sing one of the songs of Zion in a strange land. And so they knew who to cry out to, knew who that would come to their defense, to their aid, and deliver them and give them a way that they might be saved, that they might be delivered. And deliverance is extremely key here, because through this we know that their captors of the Israelites were cruel taskmasters. In the land of Egypt, they were required basically to build cities, and they built great Egyptian cities through making of bricks and putting it all together. And the taskmasters decided and depicted when they were going to rise, go to bed, how much they were supposed to do, and even increased their task upon them in time when Moses came. And here in Egypt, we would see that there was different oppressions that was upon them. And feeling the oppression that was there upon them caused them to understand how good that they had it in the land of Zion, in Jerusalem, in God's ways. Amen. We would see that there was a time when the Babylonian king had an image that was made, and he would tell them that at the sound of the music that everyone was to bow down and to worship, to bow down to that image. And we know that just about everybody did, save three, and that was whom we have come to know as the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the oppression was there upon them, and understand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only Jews that was in the land. As a matter of fact, there were hundreds and probably thousands of Jews that was there, for Zedekiah had went into Jerusalem, and at one point he went in two or three different times, but at one point he had taken everybody out of Jerusalem that was able to create or to strengthen war. So all of the warriors were taken out and were taken to the land. And then the second time, or the third time, when he came back in after they had went against Zedekiah's command, and that Zedekiah had come in with Babylon and had had told them, said, look, he said, I am going to be the ruler over you, and I'm going to set a vassal king who is going to pay me taxes. And as long as you pay your taxes unto me, then we'll provide what you need. But Egypt had talked them out of that. And they had launched out and been at war with somebody, and their king, the vassal king, had been killed. And so they raised up and they appointed another one. But when Zedekiah came back, when Nebuchadnezzar came back, he saw that and he appointed somebody else. And so the allegiance was there, but they felt the pressure. And so they took everybody that could do war, and they took others, and they offered they was going to take Jeremiah, and Jeremiah would stay. But we do know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken. We do know that Ezekiel was taken. We do know that Daniel was taken. And there they were in the land of Babylon. It was a land that was full of pagan deities. A land that you could find every god that you could possibly want, except for Jehovah. He was not to be found in that pagan land. Amen. He's not going to share his glory with another. But if you wanted to serve the moon, amen, then the moon god was there. The sun god was there. And all of the other gods. As a matter of fact, on one gate there were some 500 pagan deities embroidered into that gate. And so it did not matter who that you wanted or what you needed, there was something that was available. I did not say someone. There was something that was available that they could turn their attention to. And we know the miracle of the three Hebrew children that was in the fiery furnace, and how that God brought them out, and he was the fourth that was in that fire. And so the king stood up and praised them and told them that made them a part of the kingdom. But we would see that the oppression would not stop, because just a few chapters later there is a decree that is signed, and that nobody was to pray to any other god save unto the king, or to ask of anything save of the king. And the Bible says that when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, that he went unto his bedchambers as he had done aforetime, and that he began to open his window up and he began to pray. And outside his window were those that was against him, and they heard his prayer, and they had him arrested and thrown into the lion's den. And there in the lion's den, God showed up and shut the mouth of the lions. And the next morning, here comes the king and brings Daniel out of the lion's den. And we would see that was not the end of the oppression. It would have been nice if it would have been, but it wasn't the end. And there was so much turmoil that was in the land. Now, some of the things that we have spoken of here today may seem far-fetched, and they may seem above and beyond imaginations, but we are still of the belief that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. We are still of the persuasion that there is nothing that God cannot do. We believe that the Bible is more than just a book of good stories. Amen. But we believe it is a record of historical accounts that is handed down, and that is written there for our sake, so that we might be able to understand the God that we serve. It is through these stories, it is through these happenings, this historical reckoning of such, that it brings us to a place to have faith in God. It is through these things, it is through the way that God chose to deliver his people, amen, that causes us to have faith in God. And we know, according to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, amen, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. It is when you get into a place that there seems
seems to be no way out. Amen. That you have faith in God, that God can do, amen, above all that you can ask or think. Amen. Faith defies logic. Faith defies reality. Faith defies, amen, all of our senses. Faith defies science. When the doctors say that there is no hope, but God steps in and he is a healer. For the Bible still tells us, amen, that he is a healer of all sin, disease, and sickness, and that by his stripes we are healed. And doctors have no answer for it. They can only mark it up as a miracle. But we know where that it has come from. Praise God. Faith lets us be able to contact our God. Amen. When the bank account says there's nothing there. Amen. But God is able to take and to put money even in the mouth of a fish so that Peter could pay his taxes. God is able to provide. God is able to make a way. And we have this sure testimony. We have a word of testimony in that we, amen, have been partakers of his mighty blessings. Amen. For those that say those type of things do not happen, amen, you've come too late to tell us. We know, amen, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I just want to remind you today, amen, that as long as you can receive the glory, as long as you can take the credit for it, amen, God will remove himself from it. But as soon as you step back, whether you can accomplish it or whether you can't, as soon as you step back and say, God, all things are in your hands, and I'm going to let you work this out. Amen. We've got a God that shows up. And not only does he show up, he likes to show out. And when he shows out, he shows forth big time. Hallelujah. I want you to know that you are the apple of his eye. He sees you when you're in your time of need. He sees you in your low valleys. Amen. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he will be with you even until the end of the world. And for that, that's why we act the way that we act. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we are who we are. Because God has been good to us. God delivered us out of a drug-infested world. God delivered us, amen, out of a place, amen, where it seemed like there was no hope. God stepped in and made a way. Surely, we know him as Jehovah Jireh. Oh, let's magnify him today. God works in awkward ways. God works in ways that are mysterious unto us. And so here the children of Israel crying out for a deliverer in the land of Babylon do not understand exactly what is going on. But there is a hand that appears in the chambers of the king and begins to write upon the wall. And nobody is able to discern what it says until one calls for Daniel. And Daniel goes in there and he begins to read the superscription that is upon the wall. And he said unto the king that his kingdom had been weighed in the balance and that he was found wanting. And that the Medes and the Persians would come in and take it from him. And so it sounds like doom and gloom. And on the outside, there is an army that is in preparation. And they began to come in and began to overthrow the kingdom. And so with war and chaos in the kingdom, and all of those that are in captivity, not understanding and knowing what is going on, surely God is bringing salvation to them. He is saving them from their captors. Because it wouldn't be long before Darius, the new king, would sign a decree that would allow all of the Jews to go back to the homeland if they wanted to. And so many of them did. Some of them did not. And becoming acquainted with the land of bondage and not wanting to get out from under that. But they did, and they went away. And if that was the end of the story, then it would be wonderful. But we know that as they began to rebuild the city, that there was a king that shut down the process of rebuilding the temple. And so they began to build their houses and began to do things of that sort. And God began to require of them that they live in sealed houses, but where is the house that you have built me? And so when they turned their attention back unto that, then the oppressor stepped back in again by the name of Haman. And Haman wanted to destroy all of the Israelites again. And so thinking that we have escaped a bondage, just to fall into it again, and looking at the gallows that are made that you find in the book of Esther, and seeing that the desire is to exterminate, to destroy all of the children of Israel. Amen. And they began to question and began to wonder, what shall we do? And so Mordecai told Esther, he said, think not that you have not been, that you have been put into this kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. You are here with a purpose. You are here for a reason. And we know that Esther acted upon that, and in acting upon that, she was able to bring salvation unto the children of Israel one more time. And so the feeling of deliverance has got to be one of euphoria. The feeling of deliverance has got to take one to the highest heights, amen, that he could possibly feel. I know that there are things that you and I can relate to and say, this was such a great feeling and this was such an awesome experience. But I just want you to think for a minute of being generation after generation and living in a land of bondage, not knowing what being free was really all about. As a matter of fact, freedom is so far gone. Freedom is so far away that there has arisen generations that do not know what the taste of freedom is. They do not know what the definition of freedom is. All they know is the oppression. All they know is the oppressors. All they know is waking up every day and being commanded to go and to work and to do more. All they have felt is the sting of the oppressor's whip and the sting of the oppressor's words as they have been pushed, amen, and herded like some type of animals in a way. Amen. They all that they know, amen, is the hardship. All they know is the bondage. All they know, can I say it like this, is the addictions that are upon them. The chains and the bands and the fetters of iron that is put upon them. All they know is the meager rations that are given unto them that would cause them to not feel the strength that they need, amen, to overthrow any type of principality or government. Everything in their life is dictated. Every moment, every move, even when they go to sleep, they're so exhausted, falling asleep and knowing that the morning is soon to break and we start the process all over again. And so the writer here says, remember me, O Lord, when the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. He's crying out that God would come and that God would spare them and would save them. Why? He gives us the reason. He said that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. And then he begins to go back into history, talking about the forefathers that have sinned, committed iniquity and done wickedly, understood the wonders in Egypt, remembered not the multitude of the mercies, but provoked him with the Red Sea. What is he talking about? He's talking about that when deliverance came to the children of Israel, amen, and the feeling that they felt as they walked out was soon to be denied because they come to a Red Sea. And there at the Red Sea is the impossibility of crossing. And it is, amen, the great possibility of going back into bondage. For Pharaoh and his whole army are in hot pursuit. pursuit down upon them, and they began to cry out and began to say, would to God that we had stayed in Egypt, where there were no graves that would resemble anything like this. And so the elite feeling that they had of being set free has now diminished, and they're sitting there on an emotional roller coaster, up and down. The Red Sea parts, and they are able to walk through, and God causes it to come back together and to destroy all of the Egyptians. He went on to say, he led them through the depths, through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then they believed his words, and on the other side of the Red Sea they sang praises. He said, but they soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Amen. He said it went from one high to an extreme low, and from an extreme low back unto the heights, and from the heights back unto the depths again. What an emotional roller coaster. I've come to tell somebody here today that such is your life. Amen. An emotional roller coaster that experiences great heights, but it experiences super low lows. Amen. Just at a time when you feel like God has come through, or that God is coming through to hear the sounds of the enemy as they come in hot behind you, and you hear the war whoops. Amen. You hear the screams of bondage. You hear, amen, the voices, amen, that are screaming and shouting that they're coming back to get you and to take you back in the bondage. What once at one particular time seemed such a great euphoric feeling, all of a sudden is full of dread. All of a sudden is full of misery. I'm talking to hear somebody here today that within the last few days you have even said, I thought that I could accomplish it. I thought that I could make it, but I'm really not capable of doing it. You're afraid of committing your ways to God because you're afraid of failure. You're afraid of turning your life over to God because you're afraid of not being able to make it. You're afraid of committing your ways unto God because you're afraid that the captor is going to come back and jerk your chain and drag you right back down into that world of misery. You're afraid to cry out for God for deliverance because you're afraid that addiction is going to come calling your name again. You're afraid to ask him for help because you're afraid that you cannot make it happen, that it's going to still fall apart. You're afraid to try God. Amen. But the Bible teaches us, amen, to try him, to reach out to him, amen, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. I want to introduce you to a God that has no blemishes on his record. I want to introduce you to a God that all power in heaven and earth still remains unto him. I don't care what the government has said. I don't care what the law have said. I don't care what the doctors have said. There is a God that does have the last say-so. The enemy is not your master. All you've got to do is cry out to him. And the Bible teaches us that he is just and faithful. Amen. To be there for us. Why don't you give the Lord praise today?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I believe that I am speaking this morning. It may be to a minority. It may be to the majority. But for the sake of minority, I believe that there is a Joshua and a Caleb that are yet in the house. I'm not speaking just to one or two, but I'm talking about the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Understand that these were the individuals that had seen the inside of Egypt. These were individuals that had walked out feeling that feeling, but to hear the cries of the Egyptians behind them. These were yet two young men that stood at the Red Sea and watched the Red Sea part. These these were two young men that walked through and saw the Lord of glory, amen, destroy the captors, amen, at his will. These were men that did not have anything to eat and did not have anything to drink, but they saw the miraculous hand of God and provision come and feed them manna every day. They looked and saw water come from a rock, amen, that was able to provide for the million plus people that was there. They saw, amen, the manna that was there upon a daily basis. They saw the cloud of quails as it came in and landed, providing the meat and the flesh for the children of Israel. I believe they got a vision of what God wanted to do. They saw the land of milk and honey for what it really was. And they saw their God for who that he really was. Yes, there were 10 that says, we cannot do that. But there were 2 that said, yes, we can do that. Amen. There were 10 that says, we are not able. But there were 2 that said, we may not be able, but God is. If God can bring us through the Red Sea, then God can give this into our hands. If God can provide manna, God can provide victory. If God can supply the water, God can supply the wherewithal to do that. Amen. They wanted to see the work of God. Hallelujah. I want you to know here today that if you want to see the divine hand of God and you want to see the power of God invested into your life, all you gotta do is cry out to him. All you gotta do is reach out to him. All you gotta do is step out to him. There is a God that wants to show up for you. There is a God that wants to deliver you. There's a God that wants to set the drug addict free. There's a God that wants to set the alcoholic free. There is a God that wants to set everybody that is bound by sin. He wants to set you free. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he shed his blood. He said, nobody else is going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come down for them. I'm going to make a way for them. God loves you despite everything that you've done, despite where you are even now in this life. There is a God that loves you and that cares for you, and he is ready to bring salvation unto your life. Amen. There is a spirit of faith that is in this place today. Amen. There is a measure of faith that is reaching down into this house tonight. Amen. The devil has caused you to be despondent. The devil has caused you to be depressed. Amen. But there is somebody here today that is simply saying, oh God, I need you to visit me with your salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may go in thine inheritance. Go ahead, reach out. Go ahead, call on him. Go ahead, do it today. You won't regret it. God, he is faithful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The enemy gets disturbed when faith begins to rise up, because the enemy realizes that his hold is in jeopardy. The enemy realizes that everything that he has placed upon your life has become very, very volatile when God steps in, because all that God has to do is step in and say, be thou healed, and it shall be done. Men that was full of leprosy, amen, and was on a death sentence, they looked at Jesus and said, Lord, if thou will, thou can cleanse us. And Jesus said, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately they were made whole. I'm here to tell you tonight, immediately can happen. Immediately is in this place. You don't have to go to AA. You don't have to go to a psychiatrist. You don't have to spend sessions on a couch somewhere. You just got to get in an altar and let God wash you, and let God cleanse you, and immediately your life can be changed. Oh, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, you're here this morning, you're reaching out, it's time to reach out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to reach out. It's time to reach out. Come on, it's time to reach out right now. Now is the time. Now is the appointed time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is in this place. God is reaching for you. God is extending his hand. Amen. You've sat there and you've wandered through the night. You've cried tears down into your pillow, wondering, amen, if God even hears you. Amen. I'm telling you, God did hear you because he's talking to you right now. God's reaching for you right now. Come on, right now, right now, right now. It's time to respond to the Lord. Don't give in to doubt. Don't give in to dismay. Don't give in, amen, to facts. Amen, what the world wants to call facts and what the world wants to call reality. Don't give in to that. Right now is the appointed time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is deliverance, amen, headed your way. Amen, deliverance can be tonight. Deliverance, amen, can be yours today. Hallelujah. All God has to do is come in amongst his people and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh's got to let them go. It's got to happen. Amen. It may seem that God is working in a mysterious way, but that's God drawing you. That's God leading you. Amen. The Medes and the Persians and the pressure and the oppression may be coming into your life, but that's God's way of getting a hold of you. That's God's way of getting your attention. That's God's way of changing things in your life. That's God's way of changing direction in your life. Reach out to God. Respond to God. And let God work all things together. Let God do it for his glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's be sensitive. There's more than one. There's more than two that are here today. Amen. I want you to know that there is a big bad enemy that's trying to exploit himself in people's lives. Amen. There is an enemy that's trying to magnify himself in people's lives. Hallelujah. Church, let's be sensitive to that. There's some people that just need a little bit of hand. There's some people that need a little bit of encouragement. There's some people that need a little bit of faith. There's some people that need just, amen, a hand of security and help today. Amen. But I want you to know that's not all that God wants to do. God doesn't want you to just feel good about it. God doesn't want you to just hear about it. God wants you to experience it. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. Come on, God wants to do it here today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Come on, right now is your time. Right now is your time. Hallelujah. Right now is your time. Don't be denied. Don't be denied. Don't let the devil lie to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil keep you from your blessing. Don't let him keep you from your miracles. Don't let him keep you from salvation today. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, yes, come on. God is doing something in this place right now. God is touching hearts right now. Oh, yes, God's touching hearts right now. Yes. God's doing it. God's doing it. God's doing it. Let him do it. Go ahead and open up your heart and let him do it. Yes, Jesus, 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 Jesus.